Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And so Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God, our Creator, and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So to begin this morning, I'd like to start by reading the poem, Fire and Ice, written by Robert Frost. Some say the world will end in fire, some say in ice. From what I've tasted of desire, I hold with those who favor fire. But if it had to perish twice, I think I know enough of hate to say that for destruction, ice is also great and would suffice. When arriving at the end, it is natural to consider just how it is that we have come to arrive there. In his poem, Frost contemplates how destruction can manifest, either through active fury or through passive indifference in our lives. And as we heard our reading from Revelation, it reminds us that we are not alone. Early Christians were also concerned with this in-between time, an anticipation of an ending. The Roman Empire, after the dissolution of the Republic, had become extremely turbulent, and Emperor Octavian, with his authoritarian measures, brought peace only enforced through military force, and he allowed regional rulers to shape their own laws. This further eroded protections for those on the margins of society. And as emperors continued to rule entirely at their own discretion, these religious movements were persecuted based on solely the disposition and personal feelings of the emperor. Nero, a cruel ruler, would go on to have the Second Temple destroyed. He would burn Christ followers and is commonly known as the reason for the execution of several of the apostles. But as we zoom out and we look at the book of Revelation, we know it is a mysterious book of the Bible. mysterious due to its poetic and symbolic nature and language. Now, many scholars believe the book of Revelation is written as a response to persecution of Christians by Roman emperors, and it is meant to be a text of hope in a time that felt like the Roman Empire would rule forever and continue inflicted on the burgeoning church. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. A reminder that Jesus Christ is present with us at all times, no matter where we are on this journey we find ourselves. Christ is present in our lives. No matter how dire the situation, how hopeless our cause may seem, how much destruction has already occurred, Christ is still present, and he brings hope to all of God's people that through God, this world can be transformed. And I start the sermon in a sign, because as I read about the horrific mass shootings at Topps Grocery Store in Buffalo, and then again, less than 2 weeks later, again, I sat reading about the shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. I could feel my own optimism cracking. This combination of the extreme violence, this manifestation of hatred, and the knowledge that these massacres have been taking place and occurring more and more frequently throughout the majority of my life had me struggling to find any hope. Lord, we ask for your mercy. We know that we witness these moments, and we mourn the end of these lives cut short by violence. And we also know that our experience is only a glimpse of that pain felt by the families and communities directly affected by this violence. This hate manifested draws the headlines and makes us question our hope. But as we all know too well, gun violence is an everyday occurrence in our city as well. And it is in this we are reminded that no life in our world should ever come to an end due to violence. And yet we are confronted each day with this horrible reality. And we respond to it in much the same way Robert Frost writes his poem. We either become angry and we are moved to action, or we cope by retreating into the numbness that this grief is. We see the senseless end of these precious lives, the end of these families who were once whole. And we too are confronted with our own precarity, our own realization that we become aware of the beginnings and ends of our lives, oftentimes after the fact. Our lives rarely follow the plans and calendars, the hopes and dreams that we create. That loss of control in our lives, the lack of agency and helplessness that we face, is enough to become enraged or completely check out as we sit and wrestle with the grief that we have. But it is in these moments of grief, in these moments of struggle and despair, that we turn to our gospel. Jesus is praying in our gospel to God, the Creator, before he himself will go to where he is to be betrayed. This is called the farewell discourse. In this prayer, Jesus outlines his relationship and his connection to God as he is of one substance with God, but he is separate as well. And as Jesus prays, he prays for the future of all people. He prays for you and for me, that we will be gathered together in love into one body, gathered into one community, so that the love of God can be shared fully between one another and comfort us as we continue in this world and as we join Christ in life eternal. Even as Christ faces a violent, state-sanctioned death, he prays for all people to be made in love. His disposition, his prayer to God the Creator, is a prayer of hope for the future of all of God's people and the acceptance of the full breadth of humanity. Even as life, as Jesus knows it, is coming to an end, he remains calm and courageous, resolved in his love for God's creation and the call to discipleship in him. And so it is in our current moment where we are confronted with this violence and precarity. This text can serve as a reminder that Jesus is still near us in this moment. That within this community of faith and in the many communities that we inhabit, the love of Jesus Christ binds us together as one creation. At the end and at the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is always present for us, and he hears the laments we have for this broken and unjust world. We are bound to him, and we can find strength and agency, not in our own selves, in our own works, but through the relationship that we are gathered into. Each failure in this world, where it would seem to us that evil has triumphed, is also a space and seeks to continue to bring us in, to mourn with us, and to share in love eternal, bringing us together in a hope that the love shared between one another leads to actions and change within our communities and hope for a better tomorrow. The day we will not beg anymore for people's lives and dignity to be put first over profit and special interests. No longer will this be a beg, but it will become an undeniable demand from the people of God. The day where domination in this world becomes untenable, and God's rule and order brings all into communities of care, love, and respect. Communities that support one another unconditionally, and everyone's needs around them are met. So in this in-between time, where we continue in our beginnings and our endings, I want to remind each of you the charge that we make in this community again and again. I've said it so many times, and I will say it again. there you are right now in your journey of faith, in your stages of grief or celebration, in your doubt or trust, whether you were baptized today or you were baptized 50 years ago or you still have yet to make that baptismal promise. In your frustrations or your anger, your coping, your grief or your excitement, remember that you are welcomed with open and loving arms here. Let this community, in these trying times of pain and also in the celebrations of our everyday lives, be reflection of the prayer that Jesus made for us. That the people in this place will continue to care for one another deeply, find new ways to support one another wherever we are, and to share the love of Christ, both within these walls and beyond. So don't hesitate. As we continue to grieve these senseless tragedies, as we continue to fight for justice for all people, especially those who are on the margins, and as we continue to exist amongst the brokenness of our own nature and this world, don't hesitate to dive into the loving relationships of healing and of peace that are made possible only through the eternal presence, love, and care of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and will reign forever. Amen.